places, everybody. The occasional dose of fat, show number 108 for Friday, September 9th, 2016.
Welcome to the Personnel Abridged Post-Labor Day Non-White Wearing Day of Minor Celebration Edition of the Occasional Dose of Fat. Allow myself to introduce myself and Sven Hammer.
Hey, that myself over there's Mr. J.K. Livin. Well, welcome to our gnome free zone.
Hello, world.
Yeah, it's a little bit toasty in the old River West studio today, but at least that bag of hot air Gomez is in his car in the air conditioning.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-da-ding-boom.
And may I deflect your attentions to the musical stylings of Mr. Crazy Chris Daisy?
Hey, guys.
The Weekly Dose of Fat is brought to you by the Tubeless Ready, My Other Brother Where Art Thou Rims. Translated, that means that's my other brother, Daryl Rim, suckas.
Learn more about bikes and Minneapolis street slang at surlybikes.com.
And now, the King of Jupiter will tell us what's on the show this week. JK?
We start off the show with the event of the week. We welcome special guest Kevin Wren from Wren Sports. We check in with the Fatty Farm Field Report brought to you by Richie Logic. And we'll take a call from our listener. And in this evening's special segment, Uncle Gomez calls in from his gnome quest up north there, hey.
Yatter, hey, up north there, up to the Minneapolis.
One time.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Now.
It's time for the freaking event of the week.
Ta-da!
That event of the week is called the Fat Bike Sunset Beach Cruise and Groovy Party.
And that's a Dave popping a wheelie. And way back there is Uncle Gnomez in the flyer I'm looking at right here on the screen. And yeah, it looks like we're sponsoring this mohompa.
I figured somebody needed to know that we were actually looking at something. It's in the flyer.
We're trying to paint the word picture. Yeah, just in case. We're trying. We're doing the
that's
steps.
That's actually a pretty good photo. Dave doing a wheelie. Hey, phone lines are lighting up like Liberace's Rolls Royce over here.
That's right, everybody. Well, that's Paul Lynn, but
whatever. Paul Lynn as Liberace today. Well, I'll just take a little break here while we wait for Chris to call in. I guess we can talk about something. What were we going to talk about? We were going to talk about, oh, I know what we could talk about. While we're waiting for Mr. Chris Daisy to call in and talk about his freaking event of the week, the Fat Bike Sunset Beach Cruise. How about that? Did you see? You saw it today, right? That red TT looking fat bike.
Yeah,
it was our photo for last week's weekly dose of fat. And I just thought, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot of photos sitting right now. I'll just use this one that Rob had sent in a while back, just showing us the bike. And boy, I think that's the largest Facebook thing we've ever done. It's like 42,000 people saw it. There was something like 90 comments on it.
Yeah.
Some yay, some not so much. But, you know, I guess it just right?
What?
I guess it just shows that stuff that's kind of, I wouldn't call it controversial, but, you know, that makes, it's, people have a strong opinion about, it makes for lots of comments and good Facebook interaction. And thank you, Rob. By the way, folks, Rob is going to write a story about the what's and why fours and why the hell did you do that for that bike. So, hey, guess what? I think we killed enough time and we got Mr. Chris Daisy on the line.
Hey,
man, welcome to the radio program.
What's happening this rainy evening?
Oh, it's raining like...
Well, maybe not Friday. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's raining up here. That's what it's doing right now. Sweet. What's happening down there? What do you got going on? You have your kids by your own damn self tonight, right?
Yeah, the wife is on a business trip, and daddy's at home babysitting, and kids are bribed with an Xbox right now past their bedtime.
So. Way to be a good dad.
We'll see how this goes.
Way to be a good dad, dude. That's awesome.
I'm the cool dad.
Right? Well, you know, the main reason we have you on the line tonight is to talk about your upcoming event that is the Fat Bike Sunset Beach Cruise and Partay, which is happening Saturday, September 24th. Fill us in. What's the skinny? When does it happen? Where should people meet? What are they going to do? What kind of food? What kind of beer? What kind of, you know, bikinis? These things.
So, as usual, we'll meet behind Zion Cypery in the back parking lot and gather about 4 o'clock and take a nice big long cruise through Illinois Beach State Park, which usually includes some beach riding and some trail riding. Depending on weather, we'll kind of dictate how long we're out and out there having fun. And then we'll cruise back. There's a new little establishment that opened down the street from us called The Hive that's got some pretty decent draft beers, small place, but we can invade. There's gambling machines for those inclined.
And, hey, you should get good old George from up there in Green Bay to come on down. Boy, when we do our full moon beach rides, he's a fun man to hang around those machines with.
Definitely. Maybe he'll win some money, and it'll be worthwhile. And it's also part of a larger weekend we're having. Friday night, we're kicking off a customer appreciation party at Zion Cyclery. That Saturday morning, we've got a 50-mile road ride going on. And then the Sunday after is on the 25th, the Beulah Boogie bike race, which also includes a fat bike category. So our first ever mountain bike race in town here on the trail system we've been building the past few years.
Right on. That's awesome. Yeah.
So come stay the weekend. There's camping and hotels available, and come see all the little hidden gems we have here in Zion.
Yeah, Illinois Beach State Park's a nice place to camp. Definitely awesome. Sure. This is kind of like in lieu of Fat Camp this year, sort of like, come on down there and do this.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured that, I'm trying to make this sort of an annual thing and make the Zion Bike Festival something bigger and better every year, and so at some point we'll have a Fat Camp portion as well. But, I mean, people are welcome to come down and camp all weekend for sure.
Right on. Are you going to be...
I just won't be there.
Are you going to be doing...
I'm too busy.
Are you going to be doing any playing of any musical instruments, or do you have any music action going on?
We do on the Friday night. Our own D-Moss, a.k.a. DJ Nice, will be spinning. We're kind of billing this as the customer appreciation and dance party. And I've got our guy Dave brewing up some beer, and we're going to turn the shop into a little dance floor. So, you know, let's get crazy.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, and 25% off all parts and accessories, including special orders. So, bam.
Bam. Wow. So how did the season go?
We're
kind of school started, so the season's kind of winding down for the more traditional bike shop season. You know, you do come into the fat bike season coming up some, but how was the summer?
Oh, we had a really good June, July, August. I mean, the couple of the spring months due to the weather were up and down, but summer was definitely solid. Fat bike still going strong. We had a really strong road year kind of out of nowhere, but gravel bikes are definitely hitting it pretty heavy.
I came up with a new term for my I've been riding a road bike, drop bar bike with, 700C by 40 tires on it. I'm like, we need a new category. Yeah. I don't want to call it Monster Cross. I want to call it Road Plus, because we need more stuff. We need more stuff with plus in it. But yeah, you know, it's
definitely.
I hadn't really been riding road bikes for probably like 5 or 6 years often at all, and I'm like, wow, I forgot how fast these things are.
Oh yeah, especially if you spend your time building up your legs on fat bikes, you get on those things, it's like, wow. And but yeah. With the gravel bikes, we have so many cool gravel trails around us and pretty decent lengths as well, so it makes sense for people trying to avoid getting hit by automobiles to adapt to crushed limestone.
Right on. Yeah, they pretty much paved over everything here. We really don't have, in our area anyway, there are obviously crushed limestone paths in Wisconsin, but our own area, they seem to like that asphalt machine.
Yeah, Illinois doesn't have any money, so there you go.
Oh, right on. Cool. All right, man. So everybody, go down there that weekend. September 24th is the Fat Bike Sunset Beach Cruise, but there's other stuff going on down there at Zion Cyclery that Chris would be happy to illuminate you about over there.
Absolutely. Just go to our website at zioncyclery.com, and there's a splash page, and it'll take you to all the event pages.
Boy, that was some techie talk he just said right there. Splash page.
Splash, www.
Right? All right, Chris. Well, thanks very much for calling in and telling us about the event. I've been down there myself several times, and it's always a good time. I say go to this event. The Sven seal of approval.
Do it.
All right.
All right, Chris. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. Go take care of those kiddos.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, Chris Daisy, everybody from Zion Cyclery. Very, very awesome. Go to that event. Whoop, whoop. It's top of the hill time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And by cracky, I think we're finally going to kill off the Oscar Blues.
It's coming close.
This week. If not, I take no responsibility. Thanks, Oscar Blues. That really lasted a long time.
Hell yeah.
Hey, let's do this thing. We'll take a real quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have today's special guest, Mr. Kevin Wren, on the program. We'll be right back.
Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Jumbo's American-made Ursa Major at ChumbaUSA.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our special guest, Mr. Kevin Wren. He's a longtime bike industry player. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, for the benefit of our viewers back home, Kevin has extensive bike industry experience and is the owner of Wren Sports. Wren makes the inverted suspension fork that Nomez right now is, he's got that bolted on the front of our Blackjack Fat E Carbon that we're reviewing. And I think he's going to get a product spotlight up soon, maybe.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
So that's on that Blackjack. Is that, you work with those guys?
We have not yet, no.
Right on. Well, somebody threw one on there.
Obviously, this will get us a little bit of exposure. Yeah, no. It's been a slow process, obviously, with, a new brand. And with something as prominent as the front end of a bicycle, OEM spec was out of the question the first year. And we've done quite well this year, so we're excited for that. And I'll fill you in a little bit more as we go along.
Right on.
But we're not working with Blackjack at the moment. But this could be good, depending upon what Gomez has to say.
Right?
Yes, Ben brought up the terminology of extensive experience in the introduction. Can you share the highlights with our listener?
Yeah, I'll tell you quickly as I can. I got really lucky. my education, I spent 4 years in the seminary and realized that wasn't for me and went out and started selling office supplies door to door. And came upon a Japanese company, didn't know what they did, and turned out to be Shimano, and was offered a job with them back in 1980, and really was the luckiest thing that ever happened in terms of my career. I got to work directly for Yoshi Shimano, and I was given a pretty real good, powerful position, in my opinion. I was the OEM sales manager, and at the time, Shimano couldn't give product to the dealer. It was absolutely impossible. It was Campagnolo, Huray, Simplex, and our business was basically the American mass merchants, AMF, Huffy, Columbia.
So you're talking about what, like in the early 80s right now, right? This is kind of the time.
I was with them from 80 to 86, and we were the precursor to the Dura-Ace. Now the index shifting was Positron. We were selling that stuff to Huffy. We did a product called Aero Wind, which was, you know, it was a joke, honestly, but, you know, it was all the precursor to the stuff that is now, you know, the prominent brand at the highest end. It's an interesting experience. You know, most companies, they start at the high end and the product trickles down. Shimano is proof that you can sell into multiple markets, and they did it starting at the, you know, very base level with companies like Huffy and Murray and Columbia. So
right on.
That was great. They moved from New Jersey out to California in 86 or 87, and my wife refused to make a move to California, so I wound up leaving the industry for a few years and was able to come back for a company called Union Frauenberg, which very few people have probably ever heard of.
That's a German company, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. And at the time, they were making, again, plastic pedals for the mass merchants, Huffy, Murray, Columbia, all that. And they were doing galvanized spokes. And the other product, which was strong in Europe, was lighting for road bikes, which was all government-controlled and regulated. And we developed the first really off-road lighting set, which was called the Night Pro. And we held the first sponsored night ride at Mammoth Mountain back in, like, 1989.
Right on. Night riding rules.
That was pretty cool. A lot of people damn near killed themselves. You know, the batteries were these lead acid things that went in your water bottle cage.
Sure. I remember those days.
So, yeah, it was an interesting experience. We damn near killed a few people at night.
You know, on our lightweight bikes with the water bottle mounts, lightweight aluminum frames, you put those big heavy water bottles in, it doesn't take them long to tear the bolts right out of
the frame. Well, you can imagine. The battery was like 4.5 pounds, so this thing was like a human, it was a projectile. You know?
So, yeah,
but
for
it was
sure.
Cool. You know, that was one of our adventures to try and get away from mass merchants. And then we also did a product called tie-dye titanium spokes, which
I have some of those.
Took, I've still got a wheel set, and I ride them to this day, and that's, you know, Jesus, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, these are on some Cane Creek Chrono wheels.
Cool.
Yeah.
Way cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, Union Frauenberg was cool. We did so well with the business that it got sold. I wound up taking a position with Cannondale, which was the director of the Coda division, which was their private label components, and probably the major thing we did there was the Magic Motorcycle Coda cranks, which were the hollow CNC'd super lightweight crank sets. And, you know, it was cool. We did that. We did a suspension seat post where we had licensed the design and brought that to market. And probably the highlight was working with the Volvo Cannondale guys. You know, Scott Montgomery had set that up and as a marketing tool. But you got to work with all these great riders, Tinker, you know, Miles Rockwell, Allison Sider, even Missy, who...
Yeah. you know what's funny about... funny about Volvo Cannondale, for whatever reason, their cars were always serviced here at Jenkins Volvo, which is gone now, but in Milwaukee. So we'd always see these, you know, the team cars, and every once in a while, one was a little bit bent up, and I think Missy may have had something to do with a couple of those.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. It was... Yeah, it was a great experience. I think at the time I was in my early 30s, and I was considered the old man of the group. It was a wild time, absolutely wild. So,
right on.
It's unfortunate what happened there, you know, going public and trying to create a motorcycle division. A lot of people got screwed in the process, and it's one of those experiences from corporate America I'll never forget. A lot of people in Bedford, Pennsylvania got screwed. And a very few limited number of people walked away with a lot of money. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
You know, but I was lucky. I got out of there. Bell Sports was looking for somebody to manage their Servicycle Mongoose operation. They didn't know what to do with it. And I went out to work for Bell and wound up becoming their vice president of product development for all non-helmet brands. So it was Blackburn, Road Gear, Vistalight. Great experience, you know, working with some really professional people and coming from Cannondale where, you know, it was kind of Nikita Khrushchev type of stuff. You could take your shoes off and pound it on the table. You know, I was getting called into HR every other day at Bell Sports. But, you know, there again, it was a corporation and a lot of people got screwed with, you know, transfers to going public, going private, back and forth. And the same people made a lot of money and a lot of people got screwed.
There seems to be a common theme with corporate America here.
Well, you know, it's interesting because my younger brother has had a tremendous history in corporate America. He was a regional president for AT&T and the president of Comcast Cable Europe. And so we come from the same parents but have completely different views of what's the right thing to do in corporate America. So, you know, that having been said, I got a sweet severance package when I left Bell. And wound up buying an aquarium cleaning business here in the Bay Area, which was a lot of fun, a lot of interesting, but I didn't know a damn thing about, you know, parasites and stuff like that. I was fortunate enough to find a guy, a competitor, and we together patented a product that he had developed, an aquarium gravel machine, which was pretty cool. We raised $750,000 and paid for some molds and we still do own the patent, and it's one of those things that, you know, it gets in your blood, this entrepreneur type thing, and we never made a lot of money off of it. We probably should have sold the patent a long time ago, but, you know, it's one of those things where I love small business. While I was working on that, I took a position with the bike cooperative. Don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's 300 bike shops or so that came together and negotiated deals for them with rebates back from various suppliers.
Right, to get the buying power of the bigger group of people buying?
Yeah, it never really came together as well as it should have, because dealers continued to buy the same shit they bought from the last guy. You know, they're hard to change what they do, but it in theory is exactly what the independent dealers need. As you know, a lot of bike shops are really suffering, and, you know, I hate to see it happen. But, you know, everything changes, and they had been able to stave off the internet for a long, long time, and I don't think they embraced it the way they should have, and so a lot of bike shops went out of business. You know, there were 10,000 when I worked for Shimano in the 80s, and I'd say there's 3,000 now, and maybe 2,500 of them can pay their bills, you know?
Yeah, well, it seems like, at least in our area, one will go down, and then another one will come in and some guys will be real enthusiastic for 6 or 7 years and then they kind of wane on it or whatever. But we've seen also an influx of like larger regional, you know, shops that have like 20, 30 locations kind of sneaking into our area now.
Well, and see, that's another problem. You know, the independent guy is losing his ability to be independent. And so he thinks he needs to have, I'm not being critical of any of the big brands, but you got to have either Specialized, Trek, Cannondale, Giant, one of those, you know, and the reality is they don't, and so they're subsidizing the 20 store chains who are able to get all the deep discounts, to be able to get flown to the big events to test all the cool product and go to the Tour de France and visit with, you know, one of the key riders. You know, it's pretty cool stuff for the big guys, but the little guys are paying for it. And you guys know very well there's a ton of manufacturing done in Asia by a very limited number of people, and they're putting one guy's brand on it one day and another guy's brand on it another day. And the quality, and again, I won't mention some of the second or third tier perceived brands, but the reality is those bikes are just as good. You know, there are some differences at the high end, but for the medium average consumer, you know, there are some great values in second-tier and third-tier brands.
Right.
They just don't have the money to spend on the marketing and the sponsorships and stuff like that. So.
Well, it's where, you know, it's where a lot of a bike shop, if a guy is passionate about it and he gets into one of these, you know, maybe second or third-tier brands you're talking about, if the guy gets behind it, he does stuff, he goes riding with people, he sets events up, blah, 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 he's going to make that thing look pretty good. And, you know, people buy the experience, you know, as much as they would buy the product. You know, I want a bike. Well, I got to feel good about buying it, and I need the experience, so I'm going to go with this guy that's doing something cool. Personally, that's what I would
agree.
Do.
You know, what are you buying? You're buying the guy who sells you the product. If you go in and ask for a Ren product and the guy had a bad experience, he should tell you, look, you know, I bought from these guys. Here's the problem that I had. You want me to custom order something? I can, but here's what I've got. And these guys already have inventory tied up because they're forced by these same companies that call themselves partners to buy 80% of next year's purchases in this June and July when they fly us in. If you and I own a bike shop, they're courting us. They're bringing us into these super resorts. We're riding all the new cool stuff. And then they leverage us to give them 80%, 85% of our total needs for next year when we don't even know what the hell we're going to sell this year.
Right.
You still got July, August, September. It's the stupidest damn system. And like lemmings, the dealers just line right back up and do the same goddamn thing. It's, you know, it's frustrating. And there's
would the manufacturers kind of argue that, oh, we've got this 18-month development time and we really need to project out what we need to build so you guys can have what you need to sell? And, you know, there's like that flip side of the coin thing. But I agree with you that it's strong-armed tactics to make somebody go that deep into your line and spend that much of their money on your sole product. But
agreed. Well, let's say you and I own a bike company, a bike shop, and we went in and we bought all this stuff last July, and the stuff starts to come in. Let's say we're based in Maine or we're based in, you know, somewhere where the weather ain't going to break until May, and we're starting to get shipments in January, February, March, because they're forcing us to take these shipments. And come April, when we haven't even sold our first bike, they're running sales. And that's what happened all over the industry this year because they didn't forecast correctly. And, you know, we're lucky. We're in a niche category. We're in fat bikes. And we're then even in a further niche, which is suspension for fat bikes.
Hey, speaking of suspension for fat bikes, you guys make a fork. We should talk about that thing.
Please, go ahead.
I am enjoying talking about the bike industry in general because I've been in it since, you know, the mid-80s as well.
You didn't even ask me any stories about, you know, naked ex-bosses or nothing. So we'll jump right to the fork because, I want to take advantage of the opportunity.
Here's the thing. Gomez is not with us today, so normally all of the lewdness would come from him probably.
Okay, great.
No.
Well, I took out a bottle of scotch. I thought I'd give myself a shot for every F-bomb I drop.
Oh, right. Well,
nice.
It comes from the days at the seminary.
Does fork count as an F-bomb? Because...
It does.
You talked a little bit before about how very few places in Taiwan or China make very many of the things that we all see under different names. And the fork that you guys currently sell here is a product that in the past has had many different names. So
I think that's a good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. What the history was for us, we were familiar with the fork. Carver sold it. 11.9 sold it. There were a few other people who brought it in private label on bikes. And when I decided to start the business, the factory owner who was making these forks is a longtime friend. He has his PhD from Ohio State, Taiwanese. And while I was talking to him about our plans for Ren Sports, he asked me if I was interested in the fork of many names. And I immediately, you know, recognized the fork. It had a great look. And from some discussions, I knew people were interested. And I knew we had something. And we placed a small order just like Carver 11.9 and everybody else did it. And in the process of doing that, we realized that there were some issues with the fork. While it was significantly better than what's out in the marketplace, we knew that we could make some improvements, but we didn't want to do that and then compete with Carver 11.9 and everybody else.
With all your hard work in their forks, right?
Well, you know, and common sense, in the best interest of the factory, if you want to maintain a sound price, you know, let's say, and I'm not picking on anybody, but let's say Carver had cash flow issues and they needed to buy, you know, frames or they needed to do something else, and they start dumping forks because they bought too many. Now all of a sudden I got to match the price, so I have no interest in that.
Right, right.
And when you explain that to an OEM maker, it's a little surprising to them because they'll slap your brand on it one day and somebody else's brand on it the next. And what we were able to show them is that, A, here are some simple improvements you can make to the fork. That was pretty obvious. We brought in 50 forks. We were able to get them in the hands of some really significant riders, people who use the product, beat the crap out of the product, and came back to us and said, well, here are some other areas that you can improve. So we did things like we redesigned the crown for stiffness. That was early on.
Yep.
We keyed the stanchions because one of our customers is a mountain bike tandem manufacturer, and he was getting torsional movement at the hub, and so we suggested keying the uppers, and that helped quite a bit. So from that, we then went back to the factory and said, and we had also gotten some investment money which gave us the ability to then go back to the factory and say, look, take all the orders from everybody in North America. How many did you sell last year? Here's a purchase order for that many. And, oh, by the way, here's what else we want you to do. And so we were able to negotiate an exclusive for North America. We have since implemented, because it's a modular system, we now have 100-millimeter hub spacing, 110 boost hub spacing, 135 fat, 150 fat. And, again, because it's a cartridge system, we offer two different settings of travel, one that is 110 and one that's 150. Each one has an extra 10 millimeters that is a urethane bumper to prevent absolute destruction of the fork. So you really have 120 and 160, but you don't want to use those last 10 millimeters. We've done a lot more things to the fork. We've made the bushing stronger and more durable, improving the stiffness of the fork. We just introduced a new quick release axle, again, to improve stiffness and durability, which, you know, when you look at us compared to the industry standard for fat bike suspension forks, the stiffness and durability of our fork originally was far superior. The current model that's going out now is second to none. I mean, I absolutely guarantee people's satisfaction with the fork.
Right on.
We've done an improvement on the original lubrication of the fork. We are getting better performance and extreme cold weather performance where, you know, previous tests were done in a laboratory in Taiwan where they could run it in a machine and get it down to minus 50, but it's not real-world experience. It's not when you're getting grit and crap and all that down into the seals.
Right, right.
And, you know, having these things lock up. And for a fork that's supposed to be a year-round, if not a snow fork, you know, riding rigid because your suspension is locked up just doesn't work.
Sure.
We've introduced a new system called Twin Air, which really is an amazing development for us. Gives the rider way more adjustability than a single air system. We divide the positive air chamber into two parts, and we reduce the volume of each chamber, which allows the fork to start more easily, so you don't get that initial hesitation. And then once it is set up properly, you can add volume to the top. You're not adding pressure. You're adding volume to the top or volume to the lower. Top if you want to get a plusher ride, bottom if you want to get a stiffer ride. So, you know, where a lot of the other dual chamber forks, they have a positive and a negative element to their chambers. Our Twin Air system is completely unique and really gives you way more adjustability. So, you know, in North America, we are the source of the fork now. It is 100% Ren Sports.
Well, you guys, sounds like you guys have done a lot of the legwork to make it a viable product that you want to represent. So I think it only makes sense that you guys are the king of the fork in this year, the 50 United
States. I know my experiences, you know. If you buy a fork, the fork sells for $950 or 150 millimeter travel. We enforce a minimum advertised price, so the fork is a $1,000 retail fork, and people that are buying it are getting great value from it. And going online, your blogs are a great source for people to look at comments from people who have actually bought the fork or have previously had a Bluto, et cetera. We are focused on the rider. If you spent $1,000 on my fork, I want to make sure that you're going to get it serviced. You've got a race coming up next week. We set up a system of factory-trained service centers around the country, and these people have been outfitted with service parts. They've been trained how to service the fork. It isn't that difficult. Actually, you know, the truth of the matter is the entire system can be handled with very few tools. There's a 26-millimeter socket, a 27-millimeter socket, a pair of bent-nose pliers, and a 1.5-millimeter wrench, an Allen wrench, and a 2-millimeter Allen wrench. You can take the whole damn fork apart. If you're in the Amazon, you can disassemble the fork and put it together with those few. That's the truth. I mean, but yeah. Again, if you spent $1,000 on the fork, I wanted to make sure that you get your fork back in time for the race. I don't want you going to a shop and the guy goes, yeah, I can order those parts, and they never do, and you never get your, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
sure.
It was easy to do that. It really was. Fixing the cold weather issues that Bluto has, it was just a matter of applying some you know, some science to the thing to get it done, and some real world experience. It's just not that difficult. You know, we used to sell the bash guards. So we now supply carbon bash guards with it included. They're cool, but they're really, really expensive. We started getting orders with every fork somebody ordered a set of bash guards, and we'd say, Jesus, you know, this isn't right. If everybody needs it, we should supply it. So we now include the bash guards. Pricing never changed. The introduction of the Twin Air system, our pricing has never changed. So we're really looking to create a great value with our dealers. Dealers and the consumers. Ultimately, it's the consumer.
Sure.
And we've got a few core dealers that are really doing a great job with us, and I thank them for the early support. We wouldn't have survived if we didn't have a core, you know, base of business the first couple of years. So now the good news, we've got an order from Borealis Bikes in the last 2 weeks, and they now offer the fork as a high-end build on all of their bikes. We expect two other majors between now and Taichung Bike Week, where we'll be exhibiting the stuff over there and trying to finalize a couple more OEM deals.
Cool. So we're going to see more forks. That's good.
Yep.
You know,
it is good. Yeah.
So you guys have improved on it. I know there's, you know, no small number of people out there that have old versions of the same basic fork, whether it be a Carver 11.9, whatever. Is that? Can you still service
those?
Good
questions. Can you? Yeah. For the most part, most of our older forks can be upgraded. The original forks will take new bushings, they'll take a new damper, we have new travel clips now, which will allow you to adjust your travel in 10-millimeter increments or travel and axle crown lengths. So with simple travel clips, which we include with the forks, you can adjust travel or travel and axle crown. So the other thing that they can't do with the older forks, though, would be to install the new Twin Air system.
Okay.
So they can get the bushings, they can get the dampers, and they can get the travel clips. The new quick releases will work on the newer version. We did, as I mentioned, we did the initial standard fork of many names. That did not have a conical dropout surface. So that will not take the new quick release. It's only the newer versions, which was from the time we introduced the Keith stanchions. So,
okay.
Most of the forks, we didn't put out a lot of the original. Like I said, we bought 50 of them. We knew there were some issues with it. And from then on, the Keith stanchions, everything there can be fully upgraded.
Right on. I'm just thinking of the 11.9 I have parted out in a box that I want to get, just operational again to some extent.
Sure. Now we have, you know, the real advantage of riding around not only the service centers is, you know, we're accessible. My partner Russ and I, you have a question, he's really the technical expert. He can walk you through the entire disassembly and reassembly. We have every little screw, O-ring, detent ball, you name it. If you're rebuilding your fork, we have everything you need. So it's the right way to do things. We try to be as responsive as possible to the riders. And, you know, it's been great. Our factory partners have backed us up. An example of that is we've had some issues with hose clamps. Guys were asking why the fork didn't come with hose guides. And so, you know, after some very quick discussions with the factory, it took less than 3 weeks to tool it up, and we're now in production, and we're including a set of cable guides. So it's little things like that,
sure,
that we can react to, and we don't have to bump it up some corporate board to say, you know, can we spend $1,500 on a piece of tooling? We look at each other and say it's the right thing to do, and we do it. So,
cool.
And it's fun, you know. We're having a blast doing what we're doing, so. What else can I tell you?
I don't know. What else? What about other fat bike stuff? I saw you have a bunch of carbon components, which obviously could be applied to a fat bike, but.
Yes. I mean, we do a 35-millimeter, 840-width bar for downhillers. We do other sizes as well. We do super lightweight aluminum stems. They are the lightest ISO-certified stems in the marketplace. Defy anybody to pull out a production ISO stem. Thompson, Ritchie, we are a third lighter and probably half the price. It's because we want to deliver really high quality products to consumers at great value. And it supports the brand. We're going to make it or break it on our suspension. The other things that we do are nice complements with really high quality products that we're proud to put our name on. We do a very innovative rear rack that is adjustable from 1-inch tires up to 5-inch wide, little cam bolts on the side that allow you to widen the rack, and adjustable from 26-inch tire to 29+. So a dealer, for example, can stock that one rack and service multiple customers from a 1-inch tire to a 5-inch tire.
I'm eyeballing it on the interwebs right now. I somehow skipped right over that when I was looking. Yeah, look at that thing.
Wow. Look at the price. I mean, it's ridiculous. The quality of what we deliver, you know, and the value of what we deliver is second to none. Our handlebar manufacturer makes for every name brand on the planet. They make for Cannondale. They make for Salsa. You know, it's that OEM business model. You know, these guys need to feed the factory, and one day they're making 3T seat posts, and the next day they're making mine.
Sure. Well, right on, man. I mean, I knew you had a lot of knowledge in your noggin, and
it's amazing. You know, all the shit they told you as a kid. You know, watch out for this or that. You'll never be able to use your brain.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious we could do another show with you for sure. But I want to thank you for coming on the show this week and giving us a lowdown on the fork. And, you know, I know Gomez has already had good things to say, and his reveal will be coming up later this month. So maybe you'll run into him down at the Interbike.
Well, we appreciate it. And like I said earlier, if people are interested in more information on the forks, the best place to get it is your blog. Your competitor, mtbr.com, their blog is also a great source for honest feedback from people who are spending $950. It's a rare day you get a bro buddy deal out of us. You know, we're a small company. We're pushing a big rock up the hill.
Yep.
And I'm very happy to see some of the comments that people are making, and we're accessible. You got our emails, you got our phone numbers, and you got
an issue with something. The website is rensports.com.
Yes, sir, it is.
With a W and an R and an E and an N.
It is.
Yes, all right, Kevin. We
just like the bird.
we're gonna roll through this puppy. But thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate you spending the time. And I don't know, you didn't seem to get to drink any scotch. I didn't.
I was gonna say so.
Top of the hill.
Hey, join us at the top of the hill.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Kevin. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Holy mackerel, does that guy have the knowledge? I mean, he just has all the experience, really. You know, the knowledge comes from the experience. So. I could talk to him all day long. I think everybody's like, you guys aren't talking about fat bike stuff over there at fatbike.com. I'm pretty sure I tuned in because you guys always do stupid stuff on the radio. And, you're doing it now. So that's okay. You know, Nomez did call in and then he didn't anymore. But I will tell you what, we do have a caller on the line. Hey, you know what we should do? Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a caller on the line. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, so listen up. This is your brain.
La, 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 sing a happy song. La, 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 smirk the whole day long.
And this is your brain on plusbikes.com. Any questions?
This is Chris Daisy from Zion Cyclery, but you can call me Captain Awesome. You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program. Before we slide into that fabulous Fatty Farm field report, let's take a call from one of our longtime listeners.
Well, hi, longtime listener.
Longtime listener.
Hey, hey.
What's up, old bear?
Hey, nothing much. Hi, atop the boom boom room here at Rolla Health and Rehab. It's Old Bear. I'm feeling pretty good tonight, except, you know, I'm 64. Just, you know, things are catching up.
You betcha. You were. I know you were on the horn for most of that Kevin Wren deal. Boy, does that guy have a lot of knowledge? Holy mackerel!
JC does.
Well, you just listened to his list. We didn't even get through all of what he's done before I'm like, yeah, we got to kind of move on a little bit. But he's been so successful in so many things that when he puts his mind to something like that suspension fork, you're going to get a good thing out of it for sure.
That's true. Especially with a network of technicians across the country, across the globe, that can rebuild your fork at a moment's notice. That's great.
I just wish I had $1,000 to buy one. This running the
$5,000, I'd be out of here.
It'd be out of the home there.
Old folks home. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
Mama Bear and
I was just gonna say.
Got a cubby sitting back here behind me, strong.
Oh, cool.
My little sidekick.
Right on.
He won't say anything.
So, are you getting any riding in lately?
Been hot the last few days.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm fighting something with my neck and my stomach. It seems that I went in the hospital about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They thought I was having a stroke, and they found out that I have discs in my neck that are kind of going away, and it's pinching nerves and causing numbness and nausea.
Hmm. That doesn't sound fun.
So they put me on some medicine, some muscle relaxant, and it helps a little bit. But I don't throw up or nothing. I'm just nauseous all the time, and I can get out and ride.
Well, you're not doing it right if you're not throwing up.
Well, I can't do that sort of thing in here. I can't have the alcohol. Besides, I'm not allowed to have alcohol with all my medication.
I hear that. That could be actually a fun trip. I don't know. All right, old bear, we got to get finished with this thing because we're coming up on the witching hour. But thanks for calling in. Call in anytime you want if you want to, hang out and listen to the rest of the show. I'm going to put you back in the queue.
Yeah.
Put him back in the box.
When are you going to be on here again like this?
I think we're good. Now that the season started, I know that next week we're doing a kind of a pre-Interbike thing. And then Interbike happens, so something might happen from out there, something might not, but starting after Interbike, I think we're back to a little more regular schedule for sure. During the height of the season, between, end of October and the end of, March or whatever, I think we'll be doing it every week again, just because there's going to be enough to talk about. I mean, so. All right, Albert.
Yeah. I'll talk to you guys later. Please tell Gomez I send him my love.
Yeah, I'll send him your love, all right. Thanks, thanks, Albert. Hey, that was Albert. I guess that gets us into the Fatty Farm Failed Retort.
The Fatty Farm Failed Report is brought to you by Richie. The folks at Richie have a special offer to our readers and listeners on their Commando Frame and Fork for just...
Wait for it, folks.
And $75. $375. Just use the discount code Julio at the checkout.
Yeah, and I know that it works because we've had several people say thank you very much because this is a frame designed by Tom Ritchie. It's got custom Tom tubes. It's got, this is the Bizom for $375. I think
I got my birthday money coming soon. I'm going to see what the tally is.
Who doesn't want to have a Richie? So we wrapped up the 5-part series of gnome proof gear from our bike black ribbon test crew. See how I got through that in one take?
Well done.
Wow. Now it's time to hear from our readers about what you found indispensable to your fat bike lifestyle. Think of something that you've used and abused over the last few seasons and would go out and buy again. Or... you just bought a bunch of them right away because you knew you liked it so much. For whatever reason, take a good, clear picture of that item and write a paragraph that describes your reasoning behind presenting the highest honor that can be given.
Da, 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 da.
The gnome proof seal of approval. Place your words and pixels in an email to Gomez, and we'll compile the best stories for our next series of episodes.
Kevin Metcalf and Paul McKinley are the winners of our gnome enclature contest. They both won a Bike Black Ribbon Society Get Lost Merit Badge. Well done.
Well done.
And some Fat bike.com stickers.
Isn't that from us jerks?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of jerks.
See how I did that one take?
Right. Speaking of jerks, can you give a call over to the old pubbery and get us some tacos going?
Oh, shit.
It's like the six minute warning.
6 minutes. 6 minutes. 6 minutes to get fresh your own.
So we talked about that TT fat bike before. I'm sorry for all you who are looking to hear from Gomez in the show. As we told you earlier on, I think he's got something going on up where he is, and he did call in when we were talking to Kevin, but apparently
didn't have the patience to wait until the end of the show.
I'm sorry.
But I'm not sorry.
Mr. Lizard, on a hamburger?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a couple links up there. Your buddies at Rocky Mountain have jumped onto the 27.5 fat bike train along with our trekking friends. Got a couple of new ones they introduced out there at Eurobike. That's just one continent, folks. We got Interbike coming up here in a couple of weeks, which is international. We'll have something from there, probably. Anyway, you know what? Our show this evening has been brought to you by the Bikes, Parts, and Chaos of Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Can I place an order for a couple tacos? Right on.
Hey, while you're talking to the taco guy, I'm just going to tell folks.
Oh, yeah, can I get two chicken? This is Greg. Just bean and beef left.
Whatever.
Two beef. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Be down there in 15, 20. All right. Hey, while JK's finishing that up, call 818-918-2453 anytime, day or night.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
perfect. Leave us a message about a fat bike bubble. Buy our stuff. Our stuff is good.
Where are we? That was a lot of work. Buy our stuff. It's good.
Yeah, now it's your turn.
Join us next time for the occasional dose of fat when we preview the whole god darn inner black. Till then.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.